come right on. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Brother Grant. Appreciate you, my brother.
I brought my own water, Jim.
Yeah. I have a whole pan under
here. Some of y'all, it looks like only one got that joke. Man, I appreciate that message so much, brother. I really do. I'm going to be sharing that. You're putting that on sermon audio, right? Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be sharing that. I kind of feel like a story I heard a while ago about two Indians that were sending smoke signals to each other. And they were going back and forth. And what the one Indian didn't realize is he looked over and they were laying railroad track behind one hill. And this big charge comes up, this big massive cloud of dust comes up behind the one Indian. And the other Indian looks across and goes, well, what am I going to say after that? And that's kind of how I feel tonight. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Courageous for the glory of God. Yeah, Brother Grant and I have been friends for a while. And he's gotten used to that feeling, though, through the years. Look with me in verse 6. Y'all pretty much know where I'm going. Joshua, the first chapter in verse 6. God, of course, is speaking directly to Joshua. Moses has passed off the scene. Moses is dead. Now we have a changing of the guard. And God is commanding Joshua to lead the children of Israel, God's chosen people, into the promised land. Yeah. And for the glory of that generation. Yeah. And he tells them in verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance. The land which I swear unto the fathers to give them, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest observe, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Let's pause for a quick prayer. Father, we come to you now, Lord, needing you. Father, we don't want to preach just a bold, cagey sermon. All we want your Holy Spirit to work and to speak and do that work that we cannot do. But Father, I do desire tonight to not only to glorify thee, but to encourage those that are here. So, Father, encourage us and cause us to go out and to face the issues that all of us face. All of us here have problems and difficulties, struggles in life. Father, give us strength and courage to face these for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. All things are created for God's glory.
Amen.
The Bible tells us the Bible uses the word glory 371 times. Uses the word glorious 44 times. Those are there. And then, so how many other times does the Bible talk about His glory without using the word glory? The Bible from beginning to end is about the glory of God. As our brother preached, and I'm going to kind of move from this, salvation from beginning to end is about the glory of God. In Isaiah, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. My glory I shall not give unto
another. And salvation is all to the glory of God. But I'll continue. Sanctification is all to the glory of God. Whether we eat or whether we drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. The book of Joshua is about the glory of God. And in the book of Joshua, we find this aspect of God receiving glory is God wants to do an impossible work through men. See, God doesn't receive glory when He does a work that is possible. He does a work and He receives glory when He is doing a work that is impossible. That's why Jesus, when the rich young ruler went away from Jesus and He said it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a camel than for a rich man to enter into heaven, the disciples then said, then who can be saved?
Yeah.
And He said, well, with man, this is impossible. But not with God, for with God all things are possible. And the book of Joshua isn't about salvation to the glory of God, but it's about God's people doing impossible works for God's glory and God's glory alone. It's impossible to walk around walls 7 times and they collapse. It's impossible for seas and the brooks to open up. You read the story of Joshua, it's one impossible exploit after another.
Amen.
Humanly impossible. God desires us to do this work. And what is true of salvation is true of all the divine graces. Courage is a divine grace. When we get saved, it's a gift of God that gives us faith, it gives us repentance, but it doesn't stop when we get saved.
Amen.
If you've ever repented, you're still repenting. It's a grace.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just like in salvation, God commands the impossible. He asks us to believe and have faith, but we've learned that it is impossible from Brother Joseph because of our sin nature. It is impossible. So what is grace? Grace is God supplying that which He requires or commands so He would receive the glory. And God, in sanctification, in us living the life, He continuously gives us glory. He continuously gives us grace that we may be courageous. Now, we can act courageously in the flesh. Men can act courageously in the flesh. Kamikaze pilots were courageous. I mean, we can go down through and see all these acts of motivation and courage, but if it's courage for the glory of God alone, like Joshua, it's going to require the grace of God supplying us His divine grace for God's glory and not ours. Now, if we want to bring God glory in courage, because if it's out of flesh, then it's just bold, it's just bolsterous, it's just cagey, it's just arrogant.
That's right.
I mean, anybody can be arrogant. You know, anybody can be polarizing. I had to spend the last night in the ER for just a little something, nothing big, and I was getting frustrated. I mean, it wasn't a big issue, but it was something I needed to get taken care of. I was there 4 hours. I was starting to get a little upset and everything like that. And I was getting in my flesh and I had to calm down. We can all get in the flesh and throw a fit. But is it for the glory of God alone? We have to remember 3 things. Now, I'm going to give tonight in this outline, I'm going to throw out a big word that has a simple definition, hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is basically interpretation. How do you interpret the Bible? And I'm going to give you 3 things that we look at in every passage of Scripture that I go through. When I look at a Scripture and I'm going to preach that Scripture, I ask myself these 3 questions. I find these 3 things in every Scripture. We'll find it in this Scripture. And you'll find at least one, but almost all the times you'll find these 3 things. God wants you to know something. That's where it starts. God wants you to know something. Okay? Then He wants you to be something and then do something.
Amen.
Know, be, and do. And that's our 3 points. And we can't get that order mixed up. You got to know who you are in Christ before you can truly be who God created you to be. And you got to know who you have been created to be before you can do what God created you to do, and that's to bring Him glory.
Amen.
You also need to know not only who you are, but whose you are. You are a child of the King. You are a purchased possession of the eternal God, the Creator of all things in heaven and in earth. So, first of all, we need to know some things. God wanted Joshua to know some things. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. God wants them to go into the land and possess it. God wants them to know His purpose. Now, He's going to give him plans along the way, but the first thing that He wants him to know is His purpose, is to take the land as a possession for God. He's calling Joshua from something into something. And you can't live in the past. And God wants you to step out of your comfort zone and go forward wherever you're at.
Amen.
We live in a therapy culture. We live in a therapy culture where everybody is defined by their past. By everybody's defined by how their parents were. And if you talk to the therapist, if you talk to the psychologist, they say, well, the reason why that we do this is we want to determine the person's limiting factors going forward so we can help alleviate their limiting factors in the future. I want you to know right now, with God, there is no limiting factors for the child of God. We are not defined by our past. We are defined by our future. And I like what Jim Elliot said, our future is as bright as the promises of God.
Amen.
I mean, I am defined by who I am becoming, not who I was, but who I am and who I am becoming. And God doesn't want them to stay in the land where they died because of fear and because of unbelief and not able to take it. He doesn't want us to live in the land of coulda, woulda, and shoulda. He wants us to move forward for His glory. God wants them to know His presence. Look with me here in verse 5. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 9, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, wherever so thou goest. Why do we read the Bible? That's a real good question, really. But what I found out is people will get what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Now, if you're looking for a doctrinal book, you'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for a history book, you'll find that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking to know God,
yeah,
you can find that.
Amen.
Let me recommend to you a book called by one of the top, if I had five books, I'm not going to give you all five, but it's in the top five, Knowing God by J.I. Packer. Every Christian needs to know that. I don't read the Bible to learn about God. I read the Bible to know God. God, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me.
Right.
Hebrews chapter 10, I think around verse 7. God's presence comes to us. And so when we read the Word of God, when we know the Word of God, we know that He is with us. And we need to know His divine attributes as He spoke about that we may know this. He said, wherever you go, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize today, I was studying in Lexington and doing some errands and resting from last night, the little episode in the hospital. But He was with me. He was with Brother Grant in Lancaster.
Yeah.
And he was with Brother Matt down there in Eubanks. And he was with you wherever. He's all my cousin. He's in all places at all times. I can't be everywhere at once, and I can't be with everyone at once, but God is always with us.
Amen.
There's some things you need to know before you know how to act. There's some things you need to know. And one of the things that you need to know is that if you're moving forward, you're moving forward with God. We're talking about El Shaddai, the creator of all things, who knows the end from the beginning and from the end, and who has created all things for His glory, and He is moving us forward. We need to know God.
Amen.
Not only do we need to know God, we need to know His Word. Verse 8. This book of the law, now this is the Bible for their day. We have a Bible for our day, and it's from Genesis to Revelation. We need all of it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. You know, when I first started pastoring, I really, really encouraged people to read through the Bible. And I'm not against reading through the Bible, but I want to tell you something that I found out through these years. Rather than pushing everybody to read through the Bible all fast, why don't you slow down and read that thing?
Amen.
Pick it apart and ask it some questions.
Yes.
And digest it. I would rather you read through three or four books of the Bible in a year, seriously studying it, thinking about it, and musing about it, than to speed read through the whole Bible.
Amen.
You know, muse means to think. Amuse means non. So amusement means not to think.
Mm-hmm.
We've got enough amusement in our churches. When we come to church, we ought to come here to think.
Amen.
We ought to be challenged to think. And if your thinking's never challenged, you're not reading the Bible.
That's right.
If you're never convicted, you're not reading the Bible. If you're never caused to go, man alive, have I got that wrong all these years? Let me check it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't change on the major things, but we are growing deeper in the grace and knowledge of Him. Read it purposely. Meditate upon it. Turn with me quickly. I'm just going to list this. Turn me quickly to Psalms 119 is a great whole biggest chapter in the Bible, right square dead in the middle of the Bible, if you took it by word count. And it's all about the Word of God. And I'm just going to read some verses in a row. I'm going to read the verse, say one word, and this is just telling you how to study the Bible. This is right here, and we'll start in verse 9. Why do we read the Bible? Why should we meditate on it day in and day out? Why? You know, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. This is repeated throughout the Bible. But here, whether withal shall a young man, that's any man or woman, cleanse their ways. This is talking to the believer.
Mm-hmm.
By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now right here in these four verses, I think it'll tell us how to study the Bible. Verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Wander. We need to memorize the word. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We need to internalize the word of God. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. We need to personalize the Word of God. Is that not the promise of the new covenant? That I will teach them, I will write it on their hearts and teach them. You know, if you learn anything from me, don't go out and say, Brother Rob said, no, the Bible said.
Amen.
The Word of God said. He teaches. All right, verse 13, after you've memorized it and you've internalized it and you've personalized it, verse 13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. You need to verbalize it.
Amen.
You need to say it. It's like Jeremiah says, like a fire in my bones. I couldn't not but speak. Have you ever read the Word of God so personally and trying to reach God, that it sets you on fire.
Mm-hmm.
They asked Whitfield, I believe it was. They said, why is it that from town to town, thousands come out. He said, I don't know about that. All I know is that I spend my morning reading the Word of God until I'm set on fire. And then the people come and watch me burn. Burn for Him. Speak it. I love talking about Kentucky basketball. I love talking about a whole lot of things. You love the Word of God, you're going to talk about it. I rejoice in thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Hey, you need to prioritize it. It's above all things. Well, how do I access this courage? How do I access this power? How do I access what God has for me to be what I want to be as we transition into the next one? 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. According as His divine power has given unto us, that's present possessive. You already have received all things. All things. That's faith, that's grace, that's courage. That pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called you to what? Glory and virtue. That brings us to our second point. B. We're back in our text. B. Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. That's a command. It's a command. God is commanding us, and He has given us all things. And all power through His divine nature, through knowledge, to be who He's created us to be. Amen. We have an unlimited resource of the knowledge of Him. Amen. That has called us to His glory and virtue. Be strong. Not in human strength. God said, our Word said, not, the Bible says, not by power nor by might. But by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Let me translate that. Not by brains nor by brawn. Not by ingenuity nor by human strength. But by my Spirit, saith the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quiet ye, or act like men. Be strong. Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Well, there it is. 2 Timothy 2:11, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be courageous. Be courageous. It takes courage to stand for the truth. It takes courage to stand for the truth. Hey, don't do it. Hey, I'm screaming up here, but I promise you when I have conversations with people, I don't scream at them. I'm just so hyper and wound up, I can't help but scream. You know, all right. You know, I wish I could preach a little calmer, you know. I told Grant the other when he preached for us, I said, both of us are going to calm down. We're going to stroke out before we get to retirement age. All right. But we need to stand for truth. We don't have to be loud and boisterous and bold. We got to stand. We got to be courageous. It takes courage to stand for truth. It takes courage to live for God's glory. My glory have I not given to another? Does it pass the glory test? Who gets glory, man? Does this bring glory? I mean, man, that'll cut a whole lot out of your life.
Amen.
People say, why ain't you doing that? Well, you know, and then we him hollering, I mean, you don't have to be arrogant about it. It's time to get rid of it. Does it bring God glory? It takes courage to do that. God called him to be successful. God said that thou mayest observe to do all the things of thy life, to observe to do all the works of the law, that thou may make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt be a good success. Let me tell you something. It takes courage to do something successfully.
Amen.
Success brings contempt. Mm-hmm. Misery always has company. You want to find somebody hating on you? Do something and do it well. And do it right. There's always a critic in the crowd. There's always a skeptic in the crowd. There's always somebody, oh, they're just haughty and high-minded and doing this and doing that. No, God wants us to do it for His glory.
Amen.
And it takes courage to be successful.
It's easy to do nothing and be nothing and stand for nothing. Live in the land. Occupy the land. Take it. Don't stop. Don't stop. What about David? What did they accuse him of? It's just your pride that's brought you out here. It's just your pride that's brought you out here. David said, is there not a cause? And David knew the presence and the power of the Lord. He said, the same Lord that gave me the lion and the banner in my hand will give this uncircumcised Philistine in my hand.
Amen.
Be not afraid. He said, be strong and courageous, but be not afraid. You cannot be worrisome and courageous. The two are incompatible. One's got to go. They don't live together. And be not afraid or fear not is the number one imperative or command in the Bible. It is the most repeated command in the Bible. Be not afraid. The last generation died in the wilderness because of fear. And when you truly become content in the Lord, it will cause you to become discontent, living in the failures of and the fears of the flesh. We've come too far to stay in the wilderness and walk in circles and spin our tires. We've come too far. We can't stop right now. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let fear immobilize you. You don't know what you're on the precipice of doing by the will of God as a church and as an individual. I'm tired of the wilderness. I'm tired of it. I've gone through too much in my life to stop now. I've been broke, busted, and disgusted. And I'm tired of what the flesh can do.
Amen.
The arm of the flesh will fail you.
Amen.
The battle's the Lord.
Right.
Someone needs to know who God is.
Amen.
Who cares if there's giants in the land? Our God spins the earth.
Amen.
Who cares if He says, shout and the walls will fall. He spoke and the rivers flowed. He spoke and the sun shone. He spoke and the birds sang. If He says speak and it'll fall, I'm going to speak as if it already has fallen.
Amen.
We're coming out. God's called us to do an impossible work. He's called us to do an impossible work. And we need to go about life. So let me... We need to go about life when we know who God is and we're in His purpose and in His will. We don't need to be arrogant, but I'll quote Brother Grant right here. We need to run around with the confidence of a 6-year-old boy in Superman underwear. You know, I was an instigator, and if you and you're my friend on Facebook, you know I still am. And I love to stir the pot. And I can't tell you how many times I'd get back behind the bullies and I'd be running my mouth and then run from them. And then they'd be coming in. And then there's my brother. I'd get behind my brother. We got a God in heaven that's going to fight for us.
Amen.
Who died for us.
Right.
Who wants us to go forward. Well, He says, be not dismayed. Be not dismayed. Some of y'all worry like it's your occupation. Dismayed. That's the fear of what could be. The fear of what could be scares you sometimes. And people are afraid. Well, what will they think? Well, what will they say? Well, what will they do? You're not in trouble. You stop because you're just afraid of trouble.
Right.
Some people can talk themselves into trouble.
Right.
Some people can talk themselves into a nervous breakdown. Some people can talk themselves into depression.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible tells us to be strong and courageous and be not dismayed. If God be for us, then who can be against us? And all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loves us. And so be courageous and conquer your Canaan land. Thirdly, do. Do. He said that. Look in verse 8. Now we know why to do. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now this is not a legalistic approach. But you do have to, you got to know what's right before you can be right. And you have to be right before you know what to do right.
Amen.
And he said not to go to the right or the left. I like what Ron Chris said, and let's say take the right and the left as ultra-conservative, legalistic, or ultra-liberal. Whatever it is, it's not where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to keep between the ditches. Ron said people don't run into a ditch head-on. You know what? They're so scared of getting in this ditch, they back into the other. They're so reacting to this that they back right on into the other ditch. And I've seen that with preachers. They run out of one group and run right into another.
Yep.
You know, I'm not much on groups. They ain't much on me. I'll just be honest about it. I had one fellow tell me one time, say, well, you're polarizing. I said, well, I don't know about that, but Dr. Ray down there did say I was bipolar. I'm being serious. That's not a joke. And I'm unmedicated, as the security officer found out last night. All right? But we're doing what we can for the glory of God. He tried to put me on medicine. About 2 weeks later, I called up Matthew Hess, crying my eyeballs out. I said, it's the medicine. I liked you better when you was a jerk. I just decided to run with that since I've been there so long. But the fact of the matter I'm forgotten point. Let me look down here. The groups. Preacher groups. Cliques. And you can't disagree with them on anything. They're made up of the insecure. They're a support group to reassure each other. And they're echo chambers to pat each other on the back. And what I find to be the most humorous, and some of the preachers will know who I'm talking about, one group of about 10 or 12 preachers came out and screamed, their war cry, and they all have a war cry, was liberty, 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 liberty on the secondary issues. They try arguing, but try discussing any of those issues with them, and you'll find out that they, like all liberal, talk all about liberty, but then disagree with them. They love talking about freedom of speech until you say something that opposes them. Hey, be courageous enough to be your own man according to Scripture. Not following the edicts of a group. We have liberty to disagree with each other. Verse 8, do all that is written. Meditate on it. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Preach it, teach it. That thou shalt meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. We not only need this Scripture alone, but we need to practice Scripture alone. I won't say a whole lot about this, but everybody that screams sola Scripture doesn't practice Scripture. And we better make sure that we check our own selves in that rather than always looking for the faults of others. Because we're blinded to our own mess. I mean, y'all know that. I mean, even the Bible says a man's ways are perfect in his own eyes. You know, and that's one reason why I don't like groups. I like this brother in this group, and I like this brother in this group, and I like this brother in this group. And every now and then you need somebody to balance you. I like what Berlin Heisel said. Every time you read a book by John Gill, you ought to read one by John R. Rice. And I mean that. You need to make sure that it don't be pointing the fingers. We can point the fingers at the easy believism. We can point the fingers at the pedo-baptist. But make sure you're doing the Scripture right.
Right.
It isn't about them. It's about us. They're not my enemy. Dew has feet to it. We need to prepare for battle. Verse 10. Here's the specifics for Joshua. And let me tell you something. The Old Testament is filled, as we get ready to read, this Old Testament is filled with one battle story after another. And then we get to the New Testament, and then Paul tells us all through, be a soldier of Jesus Christ, endure hardship. People say, you're combative. I'm commanded to be on some things. What does he say here in verse 10? Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host. Command the people, saying, prepare ye battles, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan and go and to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you. Notice God has given it. It isn't really about their courage. It isn't about their ingenuity. It isn't about their obedience. It's just about believing God enough to take what He gives you. Amen. Verse 14. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave unto you on this side of Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. 1 Peter 4:1, and I paraphrase, arm yourself with the mind of Christ. I'll leave you with one last thought. And I've got two sermons in a row with Elder Ward quotes. My old friend and mentor. I asked him one question that he asked in every sermon he ever preached. Does the Lord have warriors in here tonight? Does He have any warriors? Are you ready to do battle for the Lord? Are you armed? Are you armed? Are you ready? Do you know what to do? Do you know who you are? Do you know who it is that's commanding you? Have you been changed? See, I'm becoming who I already am positionally. And then I'm supposed to do some things. But those things need to be scriptural things. Because Scripture, you know what balances my ego? Scripture.
Amen.
You know what keeps me humble? Scripture. I have to do things the way that the Lord would have them Amen. Done. So, are you ready? Are you armed for battle?
Brother Grant,
you come.